Liz Claman of CNBC, the official reporter to cover Warren Buffett, interviewed him after his annual shareholders meeting Monday, and here's what he had to say.
Overall, though, your sense of the market as an investment for a know-nothing investor, and when I say that, I mean an investor who has another job, doesn't have a lot of time to do the kind of research. What's the best way for that person to invest?
The best way, in my view, is to just buy a low-cost index fund and keep buying it regularly over time, because you'll be buying into a wonderful business, which in effect is all of American industry. And if you buy it over time, you won't buy it at the bottom, but you won't buy it all at the top either. And you'll have very low costs. And frictional costs are very important to investors. I mean, if you have 2% of a year of your funds being eaten up by fees, you're going to have a hard time matching an index fund, in my view. So I think people ought to just sit back, relax, and just keep accumulating over time.
And then Mark Haynes, the unofficial reporter to Warren Buffett, got a few questions of his own in.
Hi, Mark. It's 35 years since you've been out here, huh?
Yes, yes. And I went through in the middle of the night because I think someone was chasing me. Anyway, you mentioned low-cost index funds. Does that include ETFs? Do you have any thought on the efficacy of ETFs for the retail investor?
Well, I'm not an expert on that, Mark, but it just seems to me that a very low-cost index fund, it's pretty hard to beat. I mean, it, you put it away, you have nobody encouraging you to trade it next week or next month, and you don't even, you know, your broker's not going to be on you. But I have nothing against ETFs, but I really think that an index fund that just charges a few basis points for management is pretty hard to beat.
Man. Money Machine. Show 62. Early May. Hello, everybody. Yes, indeed. This is your very Googleable Paul Douglas Boyer for the hopefully someday renamed Mad Money Machine. I got a lot of good stuff for you on this show, including a really great tool in the crib. Got some more fun things going on out at IFA.com. Go check out the picture along the right-hand side of Mark Hebner in his tradeless Nirvana position out of the New York Stock Exchange floor. Also, check out the stock certificate they've made up for Capitalism Incorporated. What do you get when you invest in a globally diversified portfolio of index funds? Answer, Capitalism Incorporated. Click on that stock certificate there. You'll see it's 100 shares ownership in Capitalism. Got a picture of Adam Smith on it. 2006 summary statistics, total market value over $29 trillion, sales over $23 trillion, net profits over $1.8 trillion, and number of employees 60 million, chief executive officers 16,000 some, and general industries involved there 442. You can own your shares of Capitalism Incorporated with the help of Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. Capitalism Incorporated, what a company to own. Well, I'm working my way through Guitar Hero on the hard setting. I've made it to, I think, the fifth venue out of eight. And there's a song there, Freya. F-R-E-Y-A. My left arm was so sore trying to play this song. The notes are just so repetitive. But I got through it. Now I'm on to the next one called Stop, and it is just, it's impossible. I don't know how I'm ever going to get through it, but I guess I'll die trying. Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time is... I don't know if he belongs on the roulette wheel. Jason Calacanis! Jason Calacanis, born November 28, 1970, in Brooklyn, New York, is an American internet entrepreneur and blogger. His first company was part of the dot-com era in New York, and his second venture capitalized on the growth of blogs before being sold to America Online, AOL. Yeah, he sold Weblogs Inc. and made a whole big bunch of money. Now he's an outspoken advocate for internet entrepreneurism. He has a posting out at his calacanis.com website about abusive pricing. The W Hotel, $2.80 for 8 ounces of drip coffee. Are you nuts? He says, one thing I hate is abusive pricing. You know, that's one thing I hate too, Jason, is being taken advantage of. He says, movie theaters charging $4.75 for 15 cents worth of Diet Coke. New York restaurants that charge $4 for an iced tea without free refills. Hotels charging $8 for a tiny pot of coffee and charging you $7 to bring it to your room. You get the idea. He says, one thing I love about Los Angeles when compared to New York City is that the people in Los Angeles won't take abusive pricing. If you tried to charge people for a second, third, or even 10th iced tea, they would read you the riot act. In New York City, people are afraid to look cheap, so they never say anything. He says, my belief is that the reason people get away with this kind of pricing is because people are not willing to say something. I think people do predatory pricing because they can get away with it. When confronted, they will stop, or at least be forced to explain themselves. Today, when I left the W Hotel in New York, I hit the coffee bar in the lobby for 8 ounces of coffee. I thought they gave this for free to their customers, who pay $400 a night, but they don't. So I went to pay for my 8 ounces, and the woman told me $2.80, to which I said, really? She said, yes. I said, that's abusive. That's $1.30 more than Starbucks. If your coffee is twice the price of Starbucks, the kings of abusing pricing, you're really abusing people. I left the coffee at the counter after I had put milk and sugar in it in disgust. Come on, W Hotel, be nice to your customers. Don't abuse them. And then he asks, what's the most abusive pricing you've seen lately? And I'll open that up to you, the Mad Money Machine listeners, if you'd like to call in with 206-734-4763. Remember that number? If you want to call the voicemail line and just give an example of abusive pricing, I'll play it on the show. Well, there's our guru for show 62, Jason Calacanis. And fittingly enough, this song from the PodSafe Music Network from Aramitsu is called Black Coffee. I promised to tell you about my experience with my Duff Meats sampler from DuffMeats.com. They shipped it in a styrofoam container packed with dry ice. Everything was nicely frozen when it arrived. We cooked up a steak. We cooked up first the Buffalo Kansas City strip steak. Big, thick chunk of meat. You heard right. Buffalo meat. Duff Meats raises buffalo, and they also have some elk meats. Wonderful meat. Grass-fed buffalo. No antibiotics or steroids or artificial growth stimulants. We had a nice spring day here yesterday. We cooked this Kansas City strip steak up on the grill. My wife put a little bit of olive oil on it. That was it. I closed my eyes while I was eating this, and I couldn't help myself from bursting out laughing. It just tasted so good. It was just wonderful. I don't think I'm ever going to eat cow steaks again. By the way, I have read the book Fast Food Nation, and I saw that movie. And I also saw the movie Super Size Me. So if you haven't read or seen these movies, definitely want to take a look, if you know what I mean. Let's take a call now from the Mad Money Machine voicemail line, 206-734-4763. Do you realize that when they first did phone numbers, they tried to make them 7 digits because most people can remember something that's 7 things long? Well, of course, now we're into 10 digits. So as long as you remember the 206 area code and just kind of remember that as one chunk of information, then it's pretty easy for you to remember the next 7 digits, right? 734 4763? You can remember 734, 4763, surely. It's almost like 4 numbers you have to remember, like 7, then 34, then 47, then 63. It's just 4 numbers, 734, 4763. So dial 206-734-4763, leave me a voicemail, and get on the show.
Hi, Paul. This is Garen Wisner from Cincinnati. This is my first time calling. I just finished your show 60, a great show. In fact, I love your shows. I've been listening since show 50. Even though tax season is over, it's never too late to understand how investments relate to tax. And in fact, another plug, I'd say I really appreciate your tool grip. The tools are very helpful, particularly the one on asset allocation on show 56. That put me on the trail of William Reichenstein's book called Integrating Investments in the Tax Code. So here's a little trick question for you, and it's slightly related to your show 60, your guru segment. Let's assume that in 2009, the long-term capital gains tax rate will increase to, let's say, 30%. And suppose, as you suggest, we are a buy-and-hold passive investor. Here's question number one. Should I care about the tax increase? And then question two, if I do care, what parameters are the most important? The pre-tax rate of return, or the percent increase we used in this case, it doubled, or the years to retirement where I might need the money in cash flow, or even rebalancing into bonds. So that's our tax quandary for the future. Keep up the good work on the shows. I really enjoy them. Glad you went to weekly. Take care.
Hey, Garen. Thanks for calling. This sounds like one of those questions you'd get on an essay test in some sort of business class, doesn't it? And 2009's not that far away anymore, is it? And I wonder why you picked 2009. Is that politically motivated, perhaps? Well, there is talk about if certain parties regain power, that we're expecting them to raise taxes. Although editorials in the Wall Street Journal would run in red ink over such a proposal. Warren Buffett would be happy, though, wouldn't he? Or maybe he's just as upset about the estate taxes and not so much capital gains taxes. It'd be interesting to ask Warren Buffett what he thought about long-term capital gains taxes. My opinion is they should be zero so that we have friction-free capitalism. Let's have a flat tax instead of taxing everything every which way all around, making it complicated and so forth. But getting back to the question, should I care? Well, yes, I should care. That's effectively doubling the long-term capital gains tax rate from 15% to 30%. Obviously, I'd have to look at my holdings and see if there was anything in my taxable account that I'm going to want to sell soon or within the next couple of years. And if so, I should sell it and pay the 15% instead of waiting another day, the turn of the calendar year, and having to pay the 30% on the taxes. I should also care because it could impact our United States economy by taxing gains so heavily, but that's more of a macro issue. So what parameters are most important? What's most important is that today we take the steps that we can in our taxable accounts to minimize the impact of any long-term capital gains taxes. It's one of the advantages of some exchange-traded funds is that they don't make you pay capital gains taxes until you sell them. Be very careful about which mutual funds you own in a taxable account so that you don't own actively managed mutual funds where the account manager has turnover within the account, thus causing you to pay capital gains taxes on that fund every year. There are things like the Vanguard Tax Managed Small Cap Fund and the Tax Managed International Funds that you definitely want to be in when talking about taxes going up. Wouldn't have an impact on 401ks or IRAs, traditional IRAs, now would it? Because when you take the money out of those accounts, you don't pay long-term capital gains taxes. You pay income taxes, which are possibly even higher. Now, Garen, you didn't mention whether the dividend rate would also go up because dividends are now taxed at 15%, the same as the long-term capital gains rates, except dividends on some things like REITs and other bonds and so forth. I think the bottom line is if you're set up properly now, you wouldn't have any need to change your tax management strategy in any way. It's time to pull another tool out of the tool crib. This is a tool I wonder why I hadn't found it before. And the only way I found it is I was reading a posting at diehards.org/forum. Someone asked the question, what's the best stock charting tool out there? A number of people gave answers, and I put a posting in there that says, you know what would be fantastic is if there were a way to put in a portfolio of stocks and see them charted as an entirety, and to be able to compare that portfolio against a chart of another portfolio going back in time. And believe it or not, someone said, this one comes close. It's called Icara, Icarra.com. And if you go there, you'll see at the top a listing, a menu item for shared portfolios. You can click that and say view all. And if you scroll all the way down to the bottom in there, you'll see that I've added 4 portfolios so far. This is fun for me. I have the ETF portfolio from way back in 2006. Remember that one? We went up against Cramer in 2006. I put that one in there. That one continues to be tracked. I have Cramer's Stocks of the Year for 2007 in there. His 9 stock picks in 3 categories, value, growth, and speculation. I have a do-it-yourself ETF portfolio that is a globally balanced, small value-weighted portfolio of exchange-traded funds. And I also put in there, from July of 2006, the Cramer Luxury Portfolio. Back in July 2006, Cramer introduced an index of luxury goods firms in order to track if the economy would be in for a recession. You remember this back, remember last May when stocks really took a big hit and went down, 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 down until about July. Well, so Cramer featured something on his show that he wanted to track a recession. He said if high-end consumers stop spending, the economy could be headed that way too. So I took all 12 stocks that he mentioned in this index and I plopped them into a portfolio. I adjusted the prices so that the total amount of money invested was divided equally amongst each one of these stocks, and the total was $96,000 invested, because he said at the time the index was 96 that day. Now note that he wasn't recommending to buy this index. It's just used for tracking recession. Well, let's take a look at the performance of that index by clicking on that link. And you can see that since inception, the combined performance of that portfolio is 35.43%. Some recession. And of course, I wouldn't recommend buying into this index either, because the standard deviation of it is so high. Now that they've run up so big, just imagine if the market does go down, how quickly this index could go down too. Well, you can pick any one portfolio and compare it against any other portfolio. So let me go in, for example, and view all of these. And I see that Mark Hebner of IFA put in a portfolio, the Index Folio 90, some time ago. So you can pick the Index Folio 90 and see a chart of it. If you click on the chart tab, it allows you to pick any other portfolio in there and compare the two charts. So now with the Index Folio 90 chart up there, I'm going to pick the Coffee House portfolio and see how well it did against Portfolio 90. And since the beginning of the year, the Coffee House portfolio, both of these starting at 100,000, the Coffee House is about 103, 104. The IFA portfolio is up close to 108,000. Well, have fun with this tool. It's a web 1.0 system, meaning it's not all that interactive, but it's the best we got right now. Have fun with Icarra.com, Icarra. Enter your portfolio, make it either private or public, and compare your results with other portfolios. That's our tool this time, and just like all the other tools I've given you so far, this one's free. And speaking of portfolios, let's check in on the portfolio smackdown game that our board of directors, who are picking stocks of influence according to Jim Cramer's recommendations, are trying to beat the IFA Index Folio 100. As of last Friday, May the 4th, my parents' birthday. Happy birthday. The average of all 23 stock pickers is 2.58% for the year. And the Index Folio 100, 8.83% for the year. Holy cow! Take your gains! That's a great gain for the entire year. Not to mention the first 3 months of the year. Hope we can hold on to it. Alan Pendleton, still the leader, up 14.61%. Everyone else trails the Index Folio 100. It's time for a new segment. I guess I'll call Checking Out the Competition. This is a segment where I will review other podcasts, particularly investing podcasts, but not always. Tell you what I like and maybe what I don't like about them. Give you their address and how to get to them and listen to them on your own and see for yourself. So first up on Checking Out the Competition is The Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge. I'll play a little intro from that show to help explain what the show's all about.
This is America's only weekly program focused on the important stock and bond indexes and the financial products that track them. And now, presenting your host, Ron DeLegge.
Welcome to the program. It is great to have you with us. You're tuned into another edition of the Index Investing Show. This is your weekly insight into the major stock, bond, and commodity indexes and the financial products that track them. It's called Index Investing, and this is the one program where we discuss all the topics that everyone else on Wall Street is too afraid to talk about. We talk about investment fees. We discuss tax efficiency. We discuss relative performance. We discuss risk-adjusted returns. In other words, we talk about all the stuff that matters. I don't waste your time with stock picks. I don't waste your time with fund manager picks. I don't waste your time with technical charts. None of that nonsense.
So for our first Checking Out the Competition, that's the Index Investing Show. I think you can find that at indexshow.com. Ron DeLegge is the host of that. It's a radio program repurposed as a podcast for iTunes. So the show duration is always going to be pretty much exactly the same, 46 minutes roughly. To start us off, I'll give that show a 5 out of 10. The content is really good. The guests are great. He's had recently Gail Marks Jarvis, a financial columnist with the Chicago Tribune. He's had Rick Ferry, Burton Malkiel, William Bernstein, and Jack Bogle. Sound quality gets some negative marks. The host's voice, I wouldn't pick him for voiceovers. It's kind of funny, for an index investing show, he still sometimes talks about buying sectors, particular sectors of index funds and ETFs. A little bit of a contradiction in advice there. And he's got some very strange sayings, such as this one.
It's time for us to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into all of that and more. Be here or be nowhere.
Be here or be nowhere. It's almost as bad as it takes money to make money. Well, anyway, so 5 out of 10, I encourage you to check out the Index Investing Show with Ron DeLegge. You can find it in iTunes. You can find it through the web link. And you can find it through the show notes of this show. That's our competition this time on Mad Men Machine Show 62. Well, in a fit of being green, I went out to Walmart the other day. I think I bought $50 worth of compact fluorescent light bulbs. Save the environment. Save the environment. Save the world. And I put them in various places where we use light bulbs a lot in the house. The kitchen lights, they're a little dimmer than what I care for, so I may need to upgrade to a higher number. I don't know whether to call it wattage or what. The 60 bulbs that are supposed to produce the same amount of lumens as a 60-watt light bulb. They're only about, 15 actual watts of energy. Well, I was doing some recording for the show the other day, and there was this awful buzz in the background. And, of course, you can imagine where this must have come from. Turns out it was the front porch lights where I put the CFL bulbs. Let me go turn it on now and see if you can tell the difference. I'll pause it. And now unpause it. I don't know. Can you hear a little bit of a buzz in there? Maybe there's too much of a noisy environment. If you're playing it in a car where you've got road noise or something, you probably won't hear the buzz with all the other noise around. But if you're listening in a quiet place with earbuds, you can probably hear the buzz. Let me not talk for a second. Well, so I guess I got to remember that when I do my show, I can't leave the porch lights on. Well, I want to thank you so much for listening. I realize I'm competing for your time among a lot of other entertainment possibilities, not the least of which is the competition, which I'll feature on some of my shows. I want to remind you to call me with your abusive pricing stories at what was the number again? Do you remember it? Yeah, the area code's 206-734-4763. Or just call me with whatever else you wanted to talk about and leave a voicemail. Or I'm on Skype. That's a Skype voicemail line, by the way. And my account name at Skype is Mad Money Machine. All one word, I believe. And you can text message me there when I'm online, or you can text message me when I'm not online. Or you can email me at feedback@madmoneymachine.com. Or you can go simply to the website, madmoneymachine.com, and leave comments or check out a bunch of fun stuff at the website. This has been Paul Douglas Boyer, saying it takes money to make money, and it takes not being ripped off to make a Mad Money Machine. I'll see you next week. Meantime, go to our sponsor's website, IFA.com. That's Index Funds Advisors. Do you know they help investors succeed by matching people with portfolios?